Not Just Football with Cam Hayward is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
What's up, everybody? This is Cam Hayward here on the Not Just Football podcast. I'm here with Hayden. Hayden, how did you feel about the draft party?
A lot of fun, man. A lot of fun. A lot of great guests. Kenny and Broderick was great. Pat Freiermuth was awesome. Merrill Hodge was a shock. I think Merrill Hodge was the one who I did not expect him to be that honest and that open. Vince is great, but Merrill said some stuff, I felt. What about you?
Well, I loved all of the day. And so with that, we have more content. We heard everybody talk about, you know, hearing the Kenny and Broderick conversation, but we have Pat Freiermuth, Merrill Hodge, and Vince Williams. I think it's a great group. They got the job done. So take a listen and tell us what you think. Do we like the pick from last night? Let's ask that one more time. Do we like the pick from last night? Are we excited for this pick with the 32nd pick? Sounds like we're going to trade, aren't we?
I think we're trading. I don't think they stay at 32. What about you?
I don't know.
You know something.
I don't know anything.
Tell everybody. You do what you do with me every year. Tell everybody.
You guys want to know who I think we're going to pick? I don't know. But, you know, I'm excited. Thank you guys for having me. Thank you to the Steelers for having us. We got a great show for you. But first, how many of you guys have phones out here? Okay, I need you to go on Twitter right now and make sure you follow the Not Just Football account. Because if we don't, I'm leaving right now. Mm-hmm. So make sure you follow, because we are going to have questions from you guys to some of our guests and me as well. So make sure you add us, you know, and we'll have some fun with that.
They can have questions for me too, or no?
Okay. Does anyone have questions for him?
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Doesn't sound like.
Nah, it doesn't sound like. Thanks, everyone.
All right, so you guys ready to get into it? All right, our first guest from Penn State. I like that. A lot of boos. Your favorite tight end other than Heath Miller, Pat Freiermuth. What's up? Oh, a little headbutt there. Didn't we get it?
Yeah.
What'd you say? Can we get a Muth chant one more time? How you feeling, brother?
Feeling great. Good to see you guys again. Good to see Steelers Nation again. Great.
Appreciate you coming on. We have the NFL draft underway right now. Mm-hmm. Take us through your draft experience.
Yeah, it was low key. I was at my house and a little bit above Boston with my family and friends, and you know, I kind of knew I was going to go day two. And it was cool to be a part of just being there and being a part of the experience and just being with everyone who was there from the beginning. Definitely stressful, but it was cool.
So you weren't one of those guys who said, I'm going to get drafted in the first round?
No, I kind of knew, like, there was like a small chance that like a Jacksonville might have taken me or the Saints might have taken me. But I kind of knew deep down, like, you know, I was going to go day two, and, you know, you can't be unrealistic in that point. You know what I'm saying? You just mm-hmm. got to kind of trust where, you know, people are going to take you and just go from there.
Are you happy with what Penn State has done so far in the draft this year?
What do you mean?
Yeah, what do you mean?
I don't think we've got any draft people drafted yet.
Well, now you
either you're happy or you're not. You tell me.
Well, not yet. No. 32. There could be one at 32.
Could be one at 32.
Could be one at 32.
Would you guys like if the Penn State guy went at 32?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Pat, they've obviously added another Penn State guy in Allen Robinson this yep. year. Do you think Kenny's going to have a hard time delivering the ball to all these Penn State guys, considering he's a pick guy?
No, it was funny. After we signed A-Rob, I went up to Kenny. I was like, hey, man, like, the Penn State, you know, Pitt people on Twitter are going to, you know, have a heart attack seeing you throw to so many Penn State people. But I know I'm excited, and Kenny's pumped. And, you know, the more workers we get Kenny, the more explosive our offense is going to be.
Okay. We're going to change it up a little bit. You played tight end, right?
Yeah.
And you played outside linebacker.
Yeah.
But then in high school, You played basketball in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
What made you choose football over basketball?
You know, I just kind of – I liked how football – like, I always liked playing the sport, like, in season that it was. So I never really liked the whole AAU basketball, like, 24/7 type thing. And, you know, I kind of like how football is just – obviously, it's in season. You play that sport. But, you know, you just train the mm-hmm. rest of the time. So it's not, you know, as demanding just shooting the basketball every single day. So, you know, I like that. And I kind of like getting away from the sport a little bit.
Okay, I gotta follow up this.
Yeah.
So T.J. Watt played tight end. Oh, everybody's favorite out here.
Everyone's favorite.
Everybody's favorite. T.J. played tight end.
Yeah.
You played outside linebacker.
Yeah.
Who's the better at the opposite position?
probably T.J.
Oh.
I mean, yeah.
Wow, you don't even believe in yourself in that?
I mean... I feel like, nah, I'm not even getting into it. It's probably
TJ. Pat, do you think you're the best basketball player on the Steelers?
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Really?
Why?
My boys are here. They'll test.
Well, so let me ask you this.
We might have to bring them up because they might well, say something different.
They'll tell the truth, honestly.
Yeah.
But 3-on-3, who you picking? Who's your other two on the team?
I heard you're pretty good at basketball, though.
Yeah.
Post Cam. Maybe
be
like a rough guy in there.
A rough guy.
Set screens.
Maybe. I wouldn't say that.
Help me get open. and then... probably like Tay. Probably.
Who's the worst basketball player on the team? Kenny, man, I didn't
know
Kenny.
No, Kenny's not the worst.
Maybe like Christian Coombs, maybe.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's Christian Coombs.
It is.
Oh, Duquesne's finest.
I know. I'm coming after the hometown kid.
So we've seen a lot of talk about NBA players being able to step up right in the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. I think Paul George said it.
Yep.
Is that possible?
I mean, I feel like it is. I mean, you see guys like Ant Edwards, even like guys like LeBron. Obviously, they're, you know, 6'8", 6'7". But, you know, you put them at tight end or put them in split outside and in the red zone, I feel like it's a lot. I feel like I can see some truth in that, kind of just going up and getting the ball as opposed to, you know, a basketball player, you know, running around.
But is it better the other way? Where NFL players in the NBA?
Probably get more, like, likes. More views.
Likes more views from NFL guys playing NBA or yeah. NBA guys?
NFL guys playing the NBA.
Why?
Because it's more rare.
I
mean, how many NFL guys have played in the NBA?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not a whole lot.
None.
Yeah, okay.
None.
Cool.
all right, Pat, take us back to 2021 when you were drafted. Kyle Pitts was also drafted that year. Mm-hmm. He went number 4 overall. I believe you went in the second round. You have 26 more receptions. You have 3 times as many touchdowns. Mm. Do you think the Falcons probably should have taken you at 4? Or what do you think?
Nah, man. You know, Kyle's a great dude. I've gotten
I'll say yes. Hands down, yes. You guys agree, right?
Listen, Kyle's a great dude. I got to know him throughout the process. He's a hell of a player. And obviously, you know, I've been fortunate enough not to have as much injuries as he had early on in his career, mm-hmm. You know, with his knee this past year. And, you know, he's a great player. And you know, I'm just happy with my opportunities here with Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Besides that, I won't even let you. He's better than Kyle Pitts. Let's get that straight. But let's talk top tight ends all time. Mm-hmm. Give me the guy you model your game after first, and then give me your top 5 at the tight end position all time.
Yeah, I obviously watch a lot of, like, Jason Witten. I feel like kind of my game models him, just kind of, you know, the 10-yard stick routes, option routes. I feel like my game models him a lot. You know, my top 5 of all time, probably have to go Gronk, Kelsey, Tony Gonzalez.
Don't you do it. Yeah, yeah, you better.
Heath.
Come on, come on.
Heath. And then... I don't know, Shannon Sharp. I think he's pretty good, man.
What? Why do tight ends get known for catches instead of blocking?
I feel like because like they get more known for the fan base because you know obviously they're catching balls and people are starting to get to know them more because they're making plays and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But guys that you know, it's a rarity that tight ends you know guys like Kittle that can block and do both. So I feel like you know obviously the guys that catch more are going to get more recognition because fans are you know. Seeing them more make plays, but the tight ends who can block, they have a legit job.
So can you block me?
They want to know a funny story.
Funny story. Here we go.
You guys don't like this. So I tell like everyone this about because when my friends ask about you, like how big you are, I'm like, all right, listen to the story. So it's the first day of pads in camp, and our defense, like, Cam plays the three tech or whatever, and then he moved out to a six tech on me, and I'm supposed to block down. And I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? So I'm trying to, like, get in, like, trying to go inside, pause, of Cam, and I can't because his hand hits me in the chest, and I lost my breath because,
Have you gotten in a fight with him yet?
No, I'm good.
He's known for fighting everybody at training camp.
Pat's a lover, not a fighter.
Is that what it is? Okay.
I'll never fight. I don't fight in practice.
You don't fight. Only Cam does.
So you defend the offensive line when I fight them?
I'm in the back just.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, nice.
Cam, keep doing that.
Cam,
they deserve
stop.
It.
Cam, stop.
All right. So you had the experience when you first came in to work with Ben. Obviously. Yep. A veteran who'd been here a long time. Now you're working with Kenny, mm-hmm. who was his rookie year last year. What is the differences, and is there anything working with either one of them?
They're pretty similar. Obviously, there's different nuances that they both like in the offense. But I think that it's just a feel thing. I feel like Ben has been in the league 18 years, and Kenny his first year. And coming up on a second year, I think Kenny's getting more comfortable, and I think he's going to make the offense more what he wants. And I'm excited to be a part of that. And even just being in the building for the first week or two, his leadership has been tremendous, and like it's go time, and awesome. It's been awesome to be a part of that.
So I want to ask you, old guard to new guard, like how was it that you had to live up to the expectations of being in Heath Miller's shadow? Mm-hmm. Every tight end's going to have to mm-hmm. do that. Mm-hmm. We love Heath, don't get it wrong, but trying to live in Heath Miller's shadow, how do you feel about that?
It's hard, obviously, Heath's done so much for the community and for all of Steelers Nation and Pittsburgh, that it's definitely hard to live up to those expectations, but I just try not to think about it. I try to create my own path because, he's made his mark and his journey in Steelers Nation, and I'm just trying to do my own thing and make my own mark. Mm.
And you bring up making your own mark, and we talked about Ben and Kenny. Mm-hmm. I told you I was going to ask this beforehand.
Yeah.
How many people have heard about Pat talking about the no hot routes? Not enough in here.
Not
okay.
Enough. Yeah.
But I wanted to bring this up because I wanted you to clarify what you meant when you said there's no hot routes in the offense right now.
What I meant to say, it was on Ben's podcast. What I meant to say was we have hot routes on our offense. The differences in the hot routes is what made it different this year. Ben had his hot routes that he's had for 18 years, and Kenny just got in, so he was getting used to it of our offense's hot routes. So it was just the differences of hot routes. We have them in. I misspoke. I misclarified. I should have clarified on Ben's podcast. But
you were having too many beers that day, weren't you?
Maybe a little bit. But, yeah, no. So we have hot routes. They're just different. Ben had his and Kenny has his. And I'm looking forward to evolving the offenses upcoming year.
And so with Ben, he was more teaching you where to get open as opposed to you coming to Kenny and tell him where you're getting open, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Obviously, Ben's been in the league for when I was with him for – that was his 18th year, so he's seen everything, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's not like I have to come up to him and be like, hey, Ben, they're doing this. Like, he knows what they're doing,
Right.
And so he can kind of adjust off that. Kenny being his first year, he's a hell of a player, a hell of a smart quarterback, and, it was more of like a conversation because, we're trying to bring each other along, trying to build that chemistry on the fly, on the run.
How much did it help having Ben when you first came in to kind of show you what a tight end needs to do to get open in the league?
Yeah, he showed me a lot. Obviously, we would sit down in camp and stuff like that and watch, Heath film and what he kind of did with Heath, just trying to, he saw me in that role and, just trying to show me, trying to catch me up to speed quick on, what he saw me in my role in the offense when he was there. Mm.
I want to talk about your room. Because it's a very interesting room, and I'm not talking about Connor Hayward. You have an interesting room because of Zach Gentry.
Yeah.
Explain that room and explain the nicknames they all have, and yourself.
Well, yeah, I don't really know my nickname. Well, Move, but that's about it.
Yeah, Move.
So it's a great room. We're all, great guys and great friends, and, me and Zach have a great relationship, obviously, and having Meatball, that's his name, Meatball.
Meatball. How did he get the name Meatball, and who is Meatball?
Meatball is Connor Hayward.
Yes.
And we call him Meatball because he looks like a little meatball out there.
He is compact. He's compact.
But, no, we have a great dynamic in that room, and, we all bring different things to the table. Zach's obviously an exceptional run blocker, and, you know, I'm a pass pro guy, and you know, I go out there, and me and Connor go out and split out and catch balls, and you know, we really appreciate Zach, what he does, and helps us a lot. But you know, I think we each try and grow off each other and kind of, you know, build off each other going into next year.
Because I'll say this, like, even before Connor was drafted, you would come up to me and say, "Lil Bro's playing. Lil Bro's nice."
Yeah.
And like, to watch you guys in the same room, you're not competing against each other. You guys want the best for each other.
Exactly. And I think I've learned that from guys like you and guys like TJ, where like, maybe they draft someone or maybe they bring someone in. It's not like, yeah, obviously you're competing against someone every single day, but mm-hmm. you know, you're with them and they're there for a reason to win a Super Bowl. And if you have the common you know, goal as a team to win a Super Bowl and host that Lombardi at the end of the year, then you're going to obviously push each other and you know, bring that other person up.
I love it.
All right, we're going to shift gears here. On May 13th, you're hosting your first football camp.
Yep.
Ages 7 to 12 at North Allegheny High. Mm-hmm. We did some research, saw you went to Rob Gronkowski's camp as a kid.
Yep.
Did you learn anything from camp counselor Gronk that you were going to take into yours?
Yeah. Some things, yeah. But, no, obviously the most thing is just, you know, how energetic he was. Like, he made you feel like, you know, he was there for you guys and for the kids. And that's at the end of the day, that's what you want to be. And that's why I'm hosting this, to kind of get my name out there and show that I want to make a difference in this community and, you know, make sure that those kids feel welcomed and appreciated for coming out.
And then I heard this right, too. You're a Patriot. You were a Patriots fan.
I was a Patriots fan. Relax.
How foolish were you as a child?
I'm not going to say much. I'm going to leave it at that.
No, you better. No, you say more.
No, I'm not going to make Steelers Nation mad.
I mean, we talked to his friends. His friends said he hates the Patriots. They did say that.
They
say that.
We don't like his friends right now.
No,
they
no.
like the Patriots.
They're Patriot fans. So if y'all see them back there.
They're right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right there.
Over there.
They're boom.
Patriots.
Yeah, boom.
Yeah, boo them right
boom.
There. Yeah,
you Patriot know what they fans. Call themselves? Yeah. They call them Pats fans, and they're not Pats
yeah,
fans.
Yeah,
so
sure.
We have a real problem.
Very nice dad joke there, Kev.
That was a good dad joke.
Okay, so let's talk about the pick we just had in Broderick Jones. Mm-hmm. Going at 17.
Yep.
Everybody's pretty excited about
it.
How do you feel about it?
I love it, man. You know, keep building that picket fence up, you know?
Oh, the picket fence.
And listen, I heard he has a little attitude to him, a little aggression, so maybe we have to find someone to fight you in camp this year.
Ooh.
Oh, definitely.
More fights.
Definitely.
I love it.
Because I'm instigating. I'm just going to be the back. Let's go.
You know, the reason I fight guys, it's not because I don't like the other person. It's because I'm trying to get kicked out of practice. And Coach Tomlin never allows me to get kicked out of practice. I've been doing it for, 12 years now, and I haven't got kicked out of practice once. So there's a real problem there.
Maybe you shouldn't fight them.
Let's keep fighting.
Yeah, okay.
I like it.
Okay.
So what do you think we're going to do from 32 on?
I've heard a couple of things. I don't know. Obviously, I would love to bring a Nittany Lion in the room, in the team, and Joey Porter Jr. I'm sure Steelers Nation would love him. Yeah?
Yeah.
But I'm... Who knows? I trust Omar and Andy. I think they've done a great job.
I like that. What are your goals going forward?
Obviously, first, you know, I want to win a Super Bowl. Seriously, like, just seeing this, like, the Chiefs and the Eagles compete and just everything leading up to that and seeing the playoffs, like, you know, I just want to be part of meaningful games in Pittsburgh and play a home playoff game in Pittsburgh. I mean, nothing better than the best fans in the world. And obviously, that's my first goal. But secondly, I just want to continue to improve and show that, you know, I'm a top 10 in the league.
Do you believe you're top 10 right now?
I do believe, yeah. For sure.
Top 5?
Top 5?
Close. I have to have a good year this year to solidify that.
Top 3?
No.
No?
Listen.
You don't look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm going to be top 3.
I do myself, yeah.
No, you look in the mirror and say, I'm 1.
Let the man be humble.
I'm top 2 and I'm not 2.
That's you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I view it.
Yeah, but you've been in the league 12 years. I'm a youngin.
All right. We have a little segment we started. It's called Regret It or Not. Do you regret going to Penn State University?
No. No.
What made you want to go to Penn State?
Just the culture there, honestly.
Really?
You know, I believed in what Coach Franklin was preaching to me when I visited, and just the atmosphere. And, you know, my parents fell in love with it. You know, and being from Boston, you know, you know, there's not a lot of big-time football up there, and just kind of being a part of a community that loves football was really cool to me and mm-hmm. attracted me. So, you know, it was awesome. Mm-hmm.
Why didn't you go to Pitt?
H2P.
James Franklin heard that now.
Nah, I didn't get I don't think I got offered by Pitt, to be honest.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Come on, Narduzzi.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's not Narduzzi.
Yeah.
I don't think I got offered by them.
Well, do you hold that against everybody at Pitt that you see?
Nah, it's all love. It's all
Were
love.
You in the Pitt versus Penn State game?
Yeah, 3-0. Oh. Or 2-0. 51-6, 17-14, or 17-13. Yeah.
51-6, too.
Yeah, 51-6, right in Heinz Field.
Ouch.
All right.
I know the Pitt fans remember that, right?
Mm. Yeah. Ooh.
Well, it was mainly Penn State fans there anyway, so it was like,
yeah, yeah.
Pitt, yeah, I see you.
Wow, you're a jerk. You are a jerk. Okay, before we let you go,
yep.
I want you to look at that monitor right there, and I want you to tell Steeler Nation what they should be planning for next year.
What they should be planning for next year?
Yeah. What they should be looking forward to next year from you.
Super
look,
Bowl.
Look right into it.
AFC Championship, Super Bowl, baby. Come on.
I like that. We went team. He didn't even go individual. He didn't even go individual. He went team.
Yeah.
Team accomplishment.
He's a team guy. Yeah, I like
barely.
It.
Team guy.
For now. And then he's going to change on us soon.
Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesar's Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesar's Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns reward credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet, up to $1,250. If you win, great. You keep those winnings. But if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet.
21 and over only. Offer must be valid, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 wage only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount or qualifying wager return only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with the Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through the Horseshoe Bossier City and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
How we feel about that pick?
They seem kind of fired up.
I don't even know who it is.
No, I don't know.
No.
He doesn't have any ties to us. I don't think so.
No, I don't know his dad or anything.
Yeah, no.
Well, if you haven't seen, Joey Porter Jr. had just got drafted to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That makes you feel old, though.
Yeah,
Joey
it does make
Jr.
you
Joey Porter Jr. just got drafted
I
by
never
the
played with Joey, first of all, but some people like to say that. That's like a... You know, I'm not that old yet, okay? I would have had a Super Bowl by now. But, you know, I got to play against Joey when he was with the Cardinals. But I'm excited about this pick, man. Not just because it's Joey's son. It's because Joey Porter Jr. is a heck of a player. Love his length. Love how he can run with almost every wide receiver. It's a good pick for us.
I think it's also a guy that you thought you might have to get in the first round. You got him in the second, so really good value, too.
Surprising right? he was there in the second, man. Mm-hmm. I did not think we were going to be able to wait this long to get a guy like that. We'll give more of our coverage and our draft expertise as the night goes on. But we have a special guest, someone who really breaks down tape now. He's a scout for us. He was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's give it up for Merrill Hodge. we have the guru on.
The draft guru.
How are you? How are we?
We are Steeler great. Nation out there.
Oh, come on. Y'all can do better than that.
Yeah, you can do better than that. It's a full house. We got to get louder than that.
So, Merrill, you're in a different role now.
I am.
How does it feel to be working with the Pittsburgh Steelers as opposed to just, you know.
Playing for them?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's actually an interesting perspective and something I actually shared with the entire organization here about 2 days ago. Most fans won't know this, but the Steelers put together the day before the draft to have the entire organization come in. When I say the entire organization, the entire organization. Equipment managers, athletic trainers, everybody. Secretaries, because everybody's a part of this journey. RO started off. He didn't talk but a couple minutes. Mike talked for a couple minutes. Omar talked for a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. And it was in the conversation when they were talking that it just dawned on me that like I've been outside those walls. I've been inside the walls for about a decade. But then I've been outside those walls for some 2 decades. I covered the draft and I did stuff getting ready to do the draft for some 20 years. And I spent a lot of time in meetings where we go through every team, we go through the draft just like teams do the best we can. But every time the Pittsburgh Steelers come up, they always revisit these things. First of all, the history of ownership. Mm-hmm. So in 1987, I was drafted. The chief was still alive. And I got to meet the chief, and I have a lot of experiences with the chief, even though he passed away the following year. Then the majority of my career, I played for Mr. Rooney, but I grew up with Art and Dan Rooney Jr., who's the vice president, played for Chuck Knoll, and I played for Bill Cowher.
Give it up, give it up. Yeah.
And now I'm working with Mike Tomlin, who the first two are Hall of Famers, the third one's probably going to be a Hall of Famer.
Right.
But the point in sharing it with them is the importance of what they meant to that organization and what that organization, how people look at that organization. And I mean everybody. Everybody's looking in at the Pittsburgh Steelers because they are the standard from ownership and coaching and how they've been successful. And people are trying to model that. Now, some just will never be able to do it because they can't help themselves, which we can get into.
You want to get some examples?
We can go into that.
Name names.
But everybody idolizes that. Everybody respects that. Everybody talks about that. And I just want them to know that outside these walls, that's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And it was it just hit me. I was like, oh my gosh, I would have never known that had I left it.
Yeah.
And being outside it for some 25 years, I was like, they need to know it. And that includes the fans. I mean, let me tell you this, that if you are part of what makes Steeler great. The Steeler organization great. Yeah. Is the fans and Steeler Nation, and they're talked about too.
So we got to get you right into the scouting role right now.
Yeah, let's go to it.
We just saw Will Levis get drafted. How do you feel about that for the Tennessee Titans?
Well, last year they fired their general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Now a lot of people think they did it because of A.J. Brown.
Right.
But what they did to them, what they did as far as the backup quarterback, which this tells you right now that they made a mistake last year. that kid just doesn't have a skill set to play in the NFL. The kid from Liberty. He just doesn't. Now, Will Levis is not much better from this perspective. You'll appreciate this. You play against quarterbacks. I'll give you a quarterback that has these two things. He's accurate. And he's decisive, and he has pocket presence. Okay, so that's Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. How hard are they to play?
Very hard.
Very hard. Then you play a quarterback that really not a good processor, and he's not really accurate. Completely different game. Or doesn't have good pocket presence. All of that matters in our league.
Yeah.
Just one of those things will drive you out of the league. Now, the thing that is a concern that he had in Kentucky, he's not a real good processor of things, and he's not very accurate. Mm. He's very erratic in all areas of football. Those are disturbing, but the thing that's probably the most troubling, he has no pocket awareness. He has no real feel for playing the game. Now, right. They've talked about, well, he had all these sacks. I will tell you this, half of those sacks were on him.
I do believe that. A lot of quarterbacks... We'll put you in a bad position.
And they never, ever get called out. You know, it's like, the tackle made a mistake. No. The pocket was clean. Somebody wandered over into traffic and got himself in trouble.
Yeah.
And he did that a lot. And just so when you look at those things, like how, first of all, you can't change accuracy. You are who you are. Mm. People think they can be fixed. That's never been fixed. You get cleaned up a little bit, but you'll never be truly accurate. And he's just not accurate enough in our league. Mm. His overall feel for the game or the position, he struggles with that. Now, what they're going to do, obviously, in Tennessee, what they're thinking is this giving some time to develop,
yeah,
which is clearly the best environment that he could go into. In all fairness, now, where he went is a blessing to him versus being a first-rounder. Well, you know the pressure of a first-rounder. When you came in the league, watching your development from where you were to where you were to where you are is extraordinary to watch you, you know, because I've watched you from, you know, coming in, because I, you know, your dad and I have a little bit of history together. I don't know if I've ever shared this
with
you.
No, you haven't.
I thought I actually told you about this, because it was one of the things I was going to bring up to you. When your dad was in Chicago, mm-hmm, he had just went to Chicago, I believe from New Orleans.
Yeah.
I became a free agent the next year, and the 49ers had tried to trade for me during the season. Mm-hmm. So I thought that's where I was going to end up. Well, 2 days before free agency, the Bears called. And they're like, and I'm like, well, you just got Ironhead. Well, why would you want me? And they're like, no, we want to change our offense and be more versatile. Like, your dad was like a power guy. Actually, yeah, he should have probably come over here, to be honest with you. I mean, because Jerome came in here when I left.
Right.
And then the rest is history with the bus fit perfectly with him. And your dad was, you know, a power guy like that. And so when they signed me, I'm going in. He was working out. Your dad was working out in the gym.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how uncomfortable is this? I'm gonna walk into the workout with Ironhead, who they're gonna let go tomorrow. Wow. It was the most. So we were teammates for about a day. But I loved your dad. I had just great respect for your dad, because when he was at Pitt, I was a fan of his. And so we were teammates in a way in Chicago.
You never told me that.
Yeah, for a split second, we were teammates. That. So then, obviously, when you came to the Steelers, I wanted to. You feel like you have a connection. Like, I wanted to really watch you, you know, based on what happened to your dad, and just knowing how proud your dad would have been of you, and even was, I know, when you played. But then to watch you evolve as a player was, I mean, you do some things now that are just ridiculous. I do some playbooks every now and then. I could do a playbook actually every week, because you always have that one play where you just absolutely annihilate somebody from a fundamental aspect. If you want to talk about teaching the game, you would use you as a great example. Appreciate but to watch that. You move, going back to what I was saying, like when you first came in here, people probably wanted you to get 12 sacks and, you know, completely dominate, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, yeah, the expectation.
Yeah.
You know, it's so unfair.
It's tough for the first rounder.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes in on that.
Right. So he gets a break from that. And then that's a blessing. He may not think it. And sitting like he sat yesterday, that's got to be brutal.
Mm-hmm.
But the best thing that ever happened to him to have a shot,
yeah,
is that.
Okay, so let's dive right into the Steelers' first-round pick and then the second-round pick. Yeah. How do you feel about those?
Well, you know Solomon Wilcox? Solomon Wilcox, good friend of mine. So we always go back and forth on stuff. And he was saying, now, he goes, who do you think they should have really picked? Now, from a perspective of how our, you know, the Steelers were looking at things, that was the best tackle.
Mm.
He was the best tackle. Even though, you know, like, I've used this too, like, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Talent is in the eye of the beholder too. Mm. You know, people look at things differently. That's why those other two guys went.
Wait, the fans aren't excited enough that he just said that is the best tackle. Come on, guys. Let's give it up for that.
Got the guy they wanted.
Yeah.
But he was the best tackle. And fundamentally, he's good from feet, hips to hands. Okay, you know how important that is.
Mm-hmm.
In all, important. I don't care what your position is. So anybody that I look at, feet, hips to hands, I start there. Or even if it's a quarterback, feet, hips to hands, how well did they play? How fundamentally good are they? And he's really good. Mm. He has an enormous way, you know, Freiermuth. I remember when he was coming out of Penn State, I'm like, you know what? He is so good, feet, hips to hands, but there's so much growth,
mm-hmm,
that he will get better when he, yes, starts developing, and a better quarterback, different learning things. This guy will be, has the skill set right now that transitions to our league and has the chance to evolve to be a dominant left, mm-hmm, tackle. And that is a game changer. It's not exciting for fans, you know. I know because you're going back to Solomon. He said he was hoping that the Steelers would have drafted the wide receiver from Ohio State.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, well, you can't fix. You know, you just don't have, that's what the draft and building a team, I think, is art. Mm-hmm. And if you think about this league and being consistent. Like, your trenchal warfare, I say this every time, the Super Bowl gets over every year, first of all, the best team wins, okay? Not the best quarterback, not the best defense, the best team wins. And I'm telling you, 100% of the time, the team that wins, their offensive line played the best and their defensive line played the best. And you could probably get the MVP from there, but they never get any credit there. They'll never get it. They'll get it, but that you could start right there.
Don't tell me that. I'm going for the MVP in the Super Bowl.
You could probably get it. Well, the offensive lineman ain't getting it.
Well, if you show up in the backfield long enough, I'm trying to think the last guy to do that was probably Richard Dent.
Well, Von Miller.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. Take that back. But what did he do? He was in the backfield all day. That's what you have to do.
Yes.
And now you can do that from that perspective, and you're going to get, I think, like Von Miller, Richard Dent. I can't think of.
There's not a lot. So go through Joey Porter Jr. and what you think about him.
Okay. Now, here's what I'll tell you about where he stood as a grade. He's a first-round grade. Mm. People have him as a first-round grade. We have great. There was like three corners. Few of those guys, those other guys went before Joey, but he was in our top first round echelon. So in a way, we really get fortunate from a perspective. Like if you think of a value, like okay, if you have him ranked in the first round, you get him in the second, that's fortunate. He does a lot of things that you like to have to do in our league. Like the way he plays man, like okay, he can get better at man just from how he uses his hands.
Right.
You know, so many defensive backs are good with their feet, which he is, and they fail to use their second best weapon, their hands. You know, that always cracks me up when they're pressed like this and they ball snap and they stay there. I mean you know, you got to use those hands, but you can teach those things. You can, and he has a chance to really blossom with development. But he is he's somebody. I will promise you this: in the second round, they probably weren't thinking it'd be like Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
There's no way during the draft last year you thought Kenny Pickett was going to fall to the Steelers.
I thought, but how many people thought we were going to get Kenny Pickett?
Now, come on, be honest.
Yeah, he wasn't getting to 20. I didn't think he was getting to 20.
No, I'm telling you, there was like five teams you would have thought. Anyway, I didn't think he.
So, Merrill, I do want to ask you about a guy who's currently playing and plays in the division. Lamar Jackson just signed an extension. Yep. How do you feel about that, and how do you rate his play, or how do you scout his play?
Well, you know what's interesting about that question? You said, how do I scout his play? So I can only scout the offense they run. The offense they run are the Baltimore Raven coaches saying, this is what our guy does the best. Okay, so that's not me. That is not anybody else. There's a reason that they run the ball in the way they run it. There's a reason they throw the football the way they throw off of it. That's what he does well.
Right.
He has not evolved off of that. He didn't do it at Louisville. And at times he's been forced into kind of a pro-style system. He just doesn't do that very well. That is not his strength.
Right.
And people will take it as you're attacking the guy. No, I'm not. That's what they run. Right. I'm not saying, you know what, I'm not telling you what they run. I'm just telling you they run what they run for a reason. They hide their quarterback in a system that he functions well in. Now, at some point, they get exposed and they can't do that. And then they've got to throw it in a traditional set, which is the interesting point to me is that that's the system they're going to do now. I think one of the hardest things, I don't know how you're, when you, I don't know if you've changed defensive schemes and systems here much.
We have.
Okay.
A little bit. You know, when we were with Coach LeBeau, more 3-4.
Okay.
We've evolved over time and, you know, brought in the 4-3 a lot more. But,
okay.
You know, and it's a mixture. It's a hybrid.
And so from an offensive perspective, I think it's the same with defense. When you change systems and get new quarterback coordinators and new coaches, if you do that too much, I think that's the kiss of death in anybody's career. I don't care if it's offense or defense. I mean, you look at some of the greatest offenses, greatest quarterbacks. You take Tom Brady, I think, of Troy Aikman, Terry Bradshaw when he was here. And this is actually maybe a credit to Ben, is all the systems that he's kind of went through.
Yeah.
And still have been able to win and be successful. That's usually hard.
Yeah.
Usually, especially, I use his quarterback. I mean, he'll come up in a second. The quarterback Tom Brady filled in for.
Drew Bledsoe.
Drew Bledsoe. Okay, Drew Bledsoe's whole career was that. New coach, new coordinator, new coach, new coordinator. And he never got settled in.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've had this conversation with Troy Aikman and a lot of quarterbacks. Troy was like, man, if I'd ever – well, actually, they did once – North Turner left.
Oh, yeah.
The second that we started switching things, he goes, it ruined my career. So what will be interesting, you're going to have a new coordinator. You're going to have new wide receivers. You're going to have new learning. Mm. I think it bodes well for our division and how we want to play. But if you're going to take him out of his most comfort zone and how they've been successful, and you're saying, well, we're just going to be more of a pro-style offense, I think it's a recipe for disaster there.
Well, I'll say Cam has always been a big component of giving Lamar the money. He's always said that.
I'm
selfish. I want them to eat up the cap with the quarterback, and then they can't pay anybody else.
Well, they've kind of done that. That's why you get a rookie receiver, because now
that is your window.
Yeah, there's you got guys that you could. But see, now look at that. You got that guy who's never played down in the National Football League, so he's got to learn. You got the other, what's his name, who came over? I mean, he's on the down cycle.
Odell Beckham.
And just because you play, just because you've played in this league doesn't mean that you know how to play with the Ravens. And
right.
People forget that. Like, when I went to Chicago, even though I've been in the league for almost 10 years, I'm like, where do we eat? Where's our meetings? I mean, what's our system? I mean, everything was new to me. And I was like, that takes some time. And
scheme and fit.
So it'll be interesting to see how. Yeah, I don't think any player's ever against a player. I mean, from his perspective, you're darn right he earned it. I have no problem with that. But now you're married to that,
right?
And
you got to make it work.
You got to make it work. And then the way they're going about it is just very surprising to me, because he has not functioned in an environment like that. He's already been in those positions and he struggles in them. So,
So you bring up scheme and fit. We see these quarterbacks taken. You have Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, now Will Levis, and Anthony Richardson. Who is in the best? Who's in the best situation for them to have success?
No, the guy I think is the absolute best with C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud, the other guy that's I think in second place would be Bryce Young. Mm. Now, I talked about decision making and accuracy. Like, those two are woven together,
right?
Both are outstanding there. Pocket presence, outstanding there. So they have all of really the skill set, the transitions from college to the NFL. But now if you start building on that aspect of it, this is where the difference comes. So in our league, and you know this, that most quarterbacks have to throw from a dirty pocket.
Right.
You know, there's more congestion than that exists in the NFL. If you looked at that environment, and listen, I'm not saying it's easy in Ohio State and Alabama because they are so dominant, they don't get into that a lot, so you have to do a lot of work. But when you do put those plays together, Bryce Young, no matter how hard he works out, I don't know how long he trains, he is never going to grow to 6'2". Mm-hmm. He is always going to be 5'10", and that's going to be a problem from finding passing lanes traditionally in our league. When he is forced in that environment, he doesn't function as well. It's hard for him to throw the football. He is more limited. He doesn't have the arm strength that CJ does. So he can't really threaten the field when that pocket is collapsing. Now, CJ Stroud, laser-like.
That Georgia game is an example.
You know what? Laser-like accuracy, and he can put that. He can hit that exit sign right here 10 out of 10 times. He can hit that, that bandstand over there at 25 yards from a clouded pocket with authority. And there's from a defensive perspective. So now I have to worry about every inch of the field. Whereas Bryce Young, once I collapse that pocket, I got to just worry about this little rainbow of areas that he can throw the football.
Right.
So from that perspective, he will create limitations for you. So from a designer and offensive guy, I mean, I got to really worry about that. Or I got to deal with it, whereas CJ, I do not. And I'm like, I would much rather deal with a guy I don't have no limitations on.
Right.
So that's why I like him better. I think Bryce will be a very good quarterback. those limitations will rear their ugly heads enough, and here's where they're going to rear their ugly head when it matters in big games. And that's that's why I would have taken C.J. Stroud over Bryce Young.
Couple minutes left. I want to ask you, we have a segment called Regret It or Not. What's one evaluation you would regret you gave to a player, and what's one you would regret giving a bad evaluation to?
Well, it was the one that I'll always regret, just because I didn't do the one thing that I did before, and it taught me I will never not do again. We were actually doing the draft, and I'm trying to come up with his name right now. You'll be able to help because he works on the NFL Network now. He was a running back, and he came out of
Jones-Drew.
Yeah, James. Yes.
Good call. That was
Maurice
quick.
Jones-Drew.
Maurice Jones-Drew.
UCLA. Yeah,
thank you. Okay, so he comes out of UCLA, and it's around. I think he gets drafted in the third round or so. So we're doing the draft. We went to commercial break, and they're like, "Hey, the guy from UCLA. Jacksonville's going to take. Maybe it was the second round. So it was a little earlier than most expected. I watched no tape on him. And then I'm like, well, you know, why don't you give me his statistics and his measurements? And he's like 5'10", 205 or something like that. And I'm like, oh, he's a third down back, you know. But having just using measurables and using statistics and using size.
Right.
I didn't watch an ounce of tape on him. I know nothing about him as a football player. Well, he is nothing like that. And he's like a fire hydrant. He, you know, he's like rookie of the year, destroys. So in the Super Bowl, every year I used to play in the direct TV flag football game.
Yeah.
Well, one year I'm in the green room and I could feel there's two guys that have officials, I mean, like they were officiating the game.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept staring at me and I'm like, oh, that's Maurice Jones-Drew. So this is like 5 years later, right? So, and he's already, you know, he's been a couple Pro Bowls and he's like had 1,200 yards rushing, 1,300 yards rushing, smashing people. And I'm like, I'm feeling uncomfortable and here he comes. And I'm like, He said, Merrill. I said, listen, you, wherever you're going with this, I'm sorry. I was 100% wrong. Like I said, in fact, you taught me a lesson. After I did that to you, and then I saw you, I'd never, if somebody would have done that now on television, go, hey, talk about this guy, and I've never seen tape on him, I will not talk about him. I will say nothing about him because I have no right to do that because I can't really tell you the truth about the player. And he was doing this in a joking way. Right, but I was like, you taught me a lesson. He goes, well, just so you know, I'm watching television. Everybody's killing me. And I go, the one guy that's not going to kill me is going to be you. And they come out of commercial break, and you kill me. He goes, you played the position. I was like, ah, no. Maurice, I tell you, I will never forget you. I go, you taught me never, ever do that again.
Well, Merrill, I want to say thank you so much
for
coming
pleasure,
on.
My pleasure, man. Anytime for you,
we got
brother.
Some special stuff to give away. We heard that you tie ties pretty good. Is that right?
Yeah, I can throw a tie.
You want to throw some ties outside? Sign some ties?
Yeah, let's sign some ties and tie some ties, right? So we're going to sign them and tie them?
You could just sign them. You don't have to tie them unless you really want to.
We got to do one tie.
Okay, he's going to tie one.
He's got his patent, and he does it a certain way. I think
I know. Can you
him.
Just tie all my ties?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. This is funny. I love this.
Merrill, we have to get Merrill on again because there's more questions we have to ask.
And I would say there was something I would have liked to ask him a little further along, but how many analysts do you think are not watching film and they're just going off the measurables? Because Cam last night was getting
probably about 90%.
He was very frustrated last night watching people talk about players, and he was very angry.
Let me just say this. There's probably about 90%, and then just because they're watching tape, which you'll appreciate this, doesn't mean they know what they're watching.
Facts.
That's facts. Another thing. Like people could sit there and go, oh, I'm watching the Steelers play a 3-4 or watching them play defense and they can't even tell you what a 4-3 or a 3-4 is. Then when you go, are they an over and under, they're like, what? And as soon as they say that, you're like, and you're watching their defense.
Yes.
And you're gonna tell me that you know what they're doing?
Oh. Get the heck out of here.
Yeah. Wow.
That's not even fair.
He broke down some film and said that a lot of scouts don't know what bad O-line and bad D-line play are.
No.
And yeah,
they don't even understand blitzes, so they'll just say, that guy's going inside, so he must have done a move. Mm-hmm. And it's not a move. It's just it's a stunt.
I'm with you. I've done it for a long time.
Guys, we're getting the talk about football as he's tying a tie.
I know, this
is
impressive because I need to look it up on YouTube how to tie a tie. So
what do you call this knot?
You know what? I knew you were going to ask me that. Okay. This is actually a true story. So the New York Times came in and did a feature on me tying a tie.
Yeah.
When I was at ESPN, And they go, what's that called? And I said, I don't know. I go, my dad taught me how to tie this tie when I was about 8 years old because I had to wear a tie to church. I learned how to tie it that way. I never asked, and I have no idea.
Let's call it the Merrill.
I called it the Haji knot.
We call it the Haji knot. That's good.
I don't know exactly what it actually is called, though, Mark, to be honest with you.
All right. Throw those out there. Let's give a round of applause for Merrill.
Got a Merrill Haas jersey right here on the front,
too. So we'll throw it out there.
There you go.
There we go.
I expect to see you guys wearing that right now.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, this is fun. Now, how long are you guys going to be doing this? Let me ask some questions.
We're here
you guys
whole night.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. We're here the whole night. We got another special guest coming through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sure you got all kinds of.
We had Kenny on. We had Broderick on.
Pat.
Oh. We had Pat Freiermuth on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot. You have all the big guys. All the
legends. We got you.
I'm filler.
No. Everybody wants to hear from Merrill.
No, I'm glad we got to talk about your dad, though, because I've always I had a great respect for him.
Oh, you don't have to tie that. We can throw that out.
Yeah, we'll throw this. Yeah.
Don't make him tie it again.
All right.
Hard to throw a tie.
Yeah, the ties don't fly very far.
They
so
sure don't,
closer
man. It's like they sprout wings as you're sending them off. So you guys going through the whole draft till 11.
Yes, sir. 11. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we're gonna hopefully be.
Hey, now tell me, since somebody said you guys were best friends in high school.
Best friends in high school.
Hey, we want to thank the Steelers Shop, Cam, for all the great giveaways tonight too. Steelers Shop has played a big role in this, so thank you, Steelers Shop.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
Thank you, Merrill. DJ
Merrill
Hodge.
Being here. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Merrill. Appreciate
my
it.
My pleasure.
Man. Thank you.
Appreciate
you,
man.
Be good, brother.
Just picked. How's everybody feel about it?
Actually, how do you feel about it?
I'm very excited.
Yeah, this is the guy you wanted.
This is the guy we wanted. This is the guy we broke down and talked about a little bit. Keanu Benton, a guy from Wisconsin. You know, TJ already gave me the rundown on him. Long frame, big lower body, can't get moved, and dominated at the Senior Bowl. So I'm excited to get to work with him.
Yeah, you ready to be a mentor?
No, I'm not ready to be a mentor. I'm ready to be a friend. So
oh, okay, cool. That's very, very nice of you.
But now I get to bring out one of my friends, a great guy from Florida State, dominating the trenches, even though he was a linebacker. So excited to have this guy, number 98, Vince Williams. There we go. Bring that energy. I like it.
Hey, Vin.
How you feeling? As you can tell, Vince brings the energy, right?
Absolutely. Oh, man.
How you feeling?
I feel pretty good, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
No problem.
How you feel about the draft so far?
I love it, man. The PZ pick almost made tears come down. It touched me. You know, being at La Trobe and watching that guy grow up, and watching all the hard work he put in to be able to stay home, it's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think, you know, we've watched JJ all those years. JJ was always around. But to now see the man he's becoming and to know how proud Joey is of him, to know that we get to like kind of mold him and make sure he's in the best place possible. We couldn't ask for anything more.
Absolutely, man. You know, the best part about it, what I always try to tell people is that you have to mold Steelers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Steelers are made, you try to find guys that can fit in, and he's already like that.
Right.
It's already in his DNA. He's gonna come in, he's gonna be right-minded, he already knows and understands what we're looking for. He's gonna be able to give it and contribute right away.
Now, I do want to ask you something. On this very podcast, Cam referred to you as the Patrick Beverly that he played with, the trash talker. Do you think that's an accurate representation of who you are, Patrick Beverly?
Yeah.
You're better than Patrick Beverly
well,
the on
trash
the field.
Talk, though. The trash talk was elite.
Oh, because I had to get everybody going. Okay. I used to tell everybody before we went out, I was like, guys, I'm about to go out here and start a fight. I'm telling you, right? I'm going to go out here, and I'm going to antagonize everybody. And, you know, Mike T, I was just telling him, like, we got to punch first. So I got to go out here. I'm going to hit somebody. I'm going to make sure it's chippy so I can get everybody's energy going and we can be ready for an intense game. It was going to be intense because we were going to make it that way. And that was just always my goal.
Okay. What? I like when you would say, it's on site.
Oh, yeah, it's immediately.
I think we'll cover that in a little bit.
We will.
Too.
We'll cover that in a little bit. On site
now,
stuff.
Who is a guy that you played against that could match you in the trash talk?
Man, you know, that's the thing. We were the bullies. Okay. Usually we didn't have anybody that really wanted to bark back. It was always just us poking fights and starting fights with people.
That sounds about
well,
right.
Well, yeah, like if you talk mess to one of us, you talk mess to all of us.
Yeah.
So it was like you might talk a little bit, but then it's like Vince, Bud, TJ, like
they're
everybody talks mess. Even sometimes you'll get Minka to talk, and it's funny when you get Minka to talk.
Yeah.
Well, you got a good trash talk story of him?
I think the biggest like villain thing he could have done was Christmas Day when we were playing DeAndre Hopkins in the Houston Texans. We're dominating the game. Like when I say our defense was kick and tail, it was special. And so they got like a push off on Joe Hayden, and DeAndre Hopkins ended up catching a touchdown. And knowing him, he wanted to celebrate and do like a little snow angel. And somehow Vince got the idea, oh, you're going to do a snow angel right there. I might as well join you and be on the camera too. And so you see Vince just coming up, you ain't going to celebrate without me.
Well, what happened was I seen the cameraman going in that direction. And I was like, listen, I mean, this is your home team. I mean, you're the home team, but it was Steeler Nation showed out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was full of Steeler Nation, whole bunch of terrible towels. It was a Christmas game, and I'm like, yo, you're not going to celebrate when you guys are losing right now. Like, no. I'm going to go over here, rain on your parade, and I'm going to have my moment.
And it went viral, by the way, too. It was everywhere.
Yeah. I never anticipate my viral moments. They just happen.
Oh, well, that's the best ones.
I don't think you can just think about them. You just got to be in the moment, and you got to just go.
Absolutely.
All right, we got to break down your draft.
Okay.
You were drafted in the sixth round. Take us through your draft. Florida State, people were saying you were slow and unathletic. Did you listen to it?
What?
How'd you feel about it? What was your mindset going into it?
To be honest with you, I didn't think I was going to get drafted, you know, until I went to the Senior Bowl. Mm. I went to the Senior Bowl, I had a real good showing. And I remember seeing Kevin Colbert there, and he was like, Vince, we don't even need to interview or meet with you. We know you're a Steeler.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure by now it's well documented that I used to train at Tom Shaw. And all of the Steelers used to go down there and train. So I've known Ike, Will Gay, James Ferrier. I've known Larry Foote. I've known these guys since I was like 16 years old.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I used to always talk to them. They used to be like, Vince, you're going to be fine. So by the time I was coming to the time to get drafted, Kevin Colbert was like, Vince, we already know. You know what I mean? So I'm pretty sure that's where it kind of like the intrigue came in. And I just was waiting on the phone call. And then when I got it, I was like, man, I'm really going to go to the Steelers. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to play for however long I want to play. Like, this is a dream come true. Like, I was always a big Steelers fan growing up.
So when you got drafted, you got to pick a number. Why did you choose 98?
Well, I chose 98 because I knew that the Steelers had a long line of 90 numbers at linebacker. Mm-hmm. And I'm a kind of unorthodox guy anyway. Like, if you look at me, I'm more built like a defensive lineman than I really am a linebacker. So, you know, I just wanted the full-fledged pour into the tradition. Like, I'm like, you know, I want to get one of those unorthodox numbers. Lawrence Timmons was playing right next to me. He had a 90 number. I liked it. It was provocative.
Nice. I like it. How difficult was it being a six-round pick to become a starter eventually and what you ended up becoming?
It wasn't that difficult because of the way the Steelers do a great job of grooming you and preparing you for it. You know, however you get here, Mike T always says it, if you're useful, we'll use you. So I was always put in situations to be successful from day one. Like, I never felt limited by my athleticism, by what I could contribute to a team. I never felt limited or slowed down in any way. So as long as I remained useful, they were finding ways to use me and utilize my talents. And I was thankful for that. Like, you know what I mean? A lot of times I hear stories about people at other organizations, they get put in horrible situations. Mm-hmm. But fortunately for me, I was able to grow and mature as a player and as a man. And while that was going on, I could contribute however I could contribute.
Mm-hmm. So we talked about your draft. Tell us what you think about the Steelers draft so far.
I think it's pretty good, man. I told you I love the Joey Porter pick. I think we needed the tackle. I think getting the linemen that we had, those veteran guards to come in, we can develop a nice downhill running game. Mm-hmm. That'll let Kenny do what he does on the other downs. You know, he can be able to do the running game, then play action pass and push the ball downfield. Mm.
And then what did you think about the recent pick in Keanu Benton?
Oh, I love all D-linemen, you know what I mean? That's what they need. You know, everybody talks about linebacker play. But in order to have really good linebacker play, you got to have great D-linemen in front of you. I remember when I was approaching free agency the first time, I was like, I'm not leaving. I got Tuitt, Tyson, Cam Hayward, yeah. TJ, but I'm playing behind these guys. Yeah. They make my job easy. I get to sit back and talk trash while my big guys in front of me go maul people, and I just collect all the sacks and TFLs.
Hell yeah.
So how do you feel about the linebackers in this draft now?
Man, so I had put out my top five linebackers, and I see that some of them are still on the board. Henley, I don't know if Henley got taken, but Henley's amazing, man. The guy was a kick returner, slot wide receiver, turned into a linebacker, super athletic. Simpson's really good, too. I like the Simpson guy. Jack Campbell kind of grew on me. He's a longer dude. He's rangy. I think that the Lions got a good pick with him. I don't know if I would have took him in the first round.
Yeah.
I don't think there was really a first-round linebacker this year. Mm-hmm. I think all these guys were, like, second-round picks. But those are my top three that I was like, man, these guys really stand out. They're going to be exceptional playmakers at the next level. And I think they're going to be great. When I look at linebackers, right, because the middle linebacker position is evolving so much, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was a freaking dinosaur. Like, there aren't any thumpers anymore.
No.
Like, everybody has to be able to run, cover, mm-hmm. jump high. You never know when you're going to get somebody in the slot like Keenan Allen, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or Hunter Renfrow. Like, those guys are legit threats, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Especially on third downs.
Matchup problems.
You got to have guys that can match up with those dudes that can play all three downs, and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
So I think having a nice, rangy athlete at that position is critical right now.
Absolutely. So obviously you're coaching at Pine Richland. Anybody that the Steeler fans need to be aware of that could be coming up through the ranks here to be a pro here eventually?
Oh, for sure. We have an exceptional guard named Ryan Corey. This man is phenomenal. He's pulling in all the offers from Power 5 schools. He's a hard worker, dedicated, great leader, shows up every day, gives everything that he has. And I know for a fact we're going to be watching him get drafted one day.
Okay. Mm.
For sure.
What's it like coaching the kids? You having a fun time?
I'm having a great time. You know, we just won a state championship, too.
Well, congratulations.
Absolutely.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah. So we won a state championship. And just being around the guys, man, I feel like they keep me young. You know, I like to just go in. And it's in a volunteer capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So just being able to go in and drop some wisdom on them, I wouldn't say it's too strict. You know, I'm kind of a laid-back coach.
Yeah.
I like to just
what?
Come in. I am.
No way you're laid-back.
Yeah, I am. I
no
just like
laid
to come
back.
In and drop little gems on them. And, just watching them grow, watching the maturity and how they grow. Like, I started at the beginning of the season. I didn't really know that many of the kids. I was really an outsider in my own community mm-hmm. because, you know, you play the Steelers, you work all the time.
Yeah.
So even though I live out here, I don't really get to actually interact with the people that I live around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now that I'm retired and I'm in the community and I'm seeing the kids and I'm going to different sports that they play, you know, I'm actually getting to watch them grow. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I want to talk about two guys running out of time. But I want to talk about Ryan Shazier, and then we can break into Mark Robinson, because that's a guy that's, you know, a lot of people have said he's Vince Williams-esque. But let's talk about Ryan, talk about the rangy guy. Let's talk about the relationship you two guys had when you guys played together.
Man, so what made me and Ryan special together, right, was that we both had a tremendous amount of work ethic. We both had ridiculous football intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great to have a partner like that, because now you only have to see half of the field.
Right.
Like, I would look at this side of the field, he would look at that side of the field. It would make being able to diagnose plays really efficiently, because you wouldn't have to survey the entire field by yourself. That's a difficult thing to do. And then I was half of a lineman. Ryan was half of a defensive back. So it made our five-man pressures work great. Like, you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, you're half of a defensive back. I'm half of a lineman. I do all the blitzing. You do all the covering.
I'll say this. You running a pass rush drill is different than Ryan running a pass rush drill.
Why? Why is that?
Because we would go over. So Vince hated, like, coverage drills. And so, you know, they put him on a receiver. Vince would be like, man, why y'all got me over here? But that's the same thing how Ryan would feel when we would go into pass rush. And he would go, Mike T, why you got me in this drill? You know you don't want to blitz me?
So Vince was a little more physical, Ryan
yes.
a little more finesse, is
yes.
what you're trying to say.
Well, yeah, because we got Ryan going against his 300-pound guard.
Yeah.
He's like, yo,
yeah.
what am I doing this for?
Yeah.
This is never in the game, we're going to blitz Vince.
Yeah,
everybody
sure.
knows it. He has a 90 number on. That's the guy. That's the guy that's coming downhill.
Absolutely.
So why am I over here practicing this?
For sure.
So what do you think about Mark Robinson, though?
I think Mark Robinson has a lot of athleticism. I think he's uniquely physical for this time period that we're playing in.
Mm-hmm.
You don't
mm-hmm.
see a lot of guys that are willing to go out there and throw their bodies around with reckless abandon. I think if he really wants to solidify the Vince Williams comparisons, then his above the net game is going to have to take huge steps. Mm. I think what a lot of people don't know, but what Cam can attest to, not to toot my own horn, but I was a quarterback of the defense. Everything that was coming, I knew. I was constantly studying. Yes. I was in the film room. I was in the building every morning, meeting with the guys upstairs, meeting with the GMs, talking to about the personnel we were going to go against. I was prepared. I always had a plethora of information for my guys. You know what I mean? I felt like I had to be the liaison between the coaches and the players.
Yeah.
So, Cam, you don't need to think. I'm going to tell you where the ball is going.
Wait, no, don't do that. Don't make it seem like I wasn't thinking.
Because Cam wants to talk. I'm like, yo, shut up. Turn around.
Go
get the quarterback. He want to make calls and stuff.
I put a lot of – I put a lot on the inside linebacker's plate.
He does. He's a bully.
You know, when we got Ryan, I made sure Ryan went through hell in practice.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I need to make sure you know what to do. I'll be honest, when shit hits the fan, I'm sorry for my language, but, you know, Vince learned this, and Vince was like, I'm going to make sure I know what I got to do and what everybody else has to do. Some guys think, oh, I just need to know what I got to do, and I'll keep it moving. As the middle linebacker of a defense, and with the Pittsburgh Steelers, there's a responsibility you have at that position. Am I right?
Yeah, he's right. So now I'm not talking. Like, Cam's like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, okay, you want to talk, Cam, so I'm going to sit back. They're like, what's the call, Vince? No, you guys know so much. You tell me the call.
That
like,
sounds about right. That sounds about right.
And that's how you calm
down. If you give me that, I'll make the call.
Well, he
you
will.
Might, no, you might not be happy with the call, but I'll make the call.
Because, you know, you have the headset on, right?
Yeah.
So
the green dot.
We're trying to – yes.
The green dot.
So the coaches are trying to get the calls in. They're trying to get the personnel. Got Cam screaming at you. TJ screaming at you. You make a call that they feel doesn't compliment what we're trying to get. They're like, what's that? They don't want to run. I'm like, oh, man.
They complain about the calls?
Okay,
oh,
okay.
All they want
I will
blitz.
Give you a story. I will give you a story. We're playing New England to open the season.
Okay.
And this is how I knew Vince's job was harder than it was expected. They gave the green dot to TJ.
Oh, no.
And so once they gave the green dot to TJ, TJ's like, I got it. I'll make sure everybody's got the call. Halfway through the game, TJ goes, don't you ever give me that again. I will never do this.
I'm like, yeah, because it's easy to do when you don't have the pressure on you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, you know what I mean? You have to sit here and analyze the play, think about what they're doing, get the call coming in. So what I used to try to do, I used to try to stay ahead of schedule. Mm-hmm. I used to always make sure that the way that I was thinking about the game was the way that my coaches were thinking about mm-hmm. the game. Mm-hmm. So I could pretty much make the calls myself because mm-hmm. I already knew. I'm like, oh, it's 2nd and 10. They're in this personnel. This is probably what we're going to call. I'm expecting it. And then when it comes in, I'm like, I don't really like it. I wouldn't have called that, but
still,
you know,
run it, yeah.
It's still right.
Last question. We asked Pat about this. You're starting to see Paul George talk about NBA players playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? And is it the other way around where NFL players play in the NBA?
Okay, so you know I go to basketball games all the time. I'm a big basketball fan because I can't do that.
Yeah.
So it's something that I can purely watch as a fan. Mm-hmm. And what I will say is basketball players lack the physicality and grit that it takes to play football.
Yes.
But there's no way you can tell me that anybody in football is guarding prime Russell Westbrook on a fade route. That is not happening. Like, a prime Russell Westbrook on a fade route is scoring every single
Mink
time.
I think Mink likes those opportunities.
He's coming over the top to lay him out, though.
Yeah.
Mink's like, getting dunked on.
Oh.
He's getting dunked on.
I mean, prime Russell Westbrook, he's right about that, though. I mean, Russell Westbrook goes,
what? So what happens if Troy Polamalu?
He's gonna knock him out. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes you get the bear, sometimes the bear gets you.
Yeah,
but he's going to lead the NFL in touchdowns. Right? And then if you look at this, so think about this, right? Think about all of the basketball players that have came over and made the jump. Yep. They're usually always successful. Antonio Gates, Jimmy Graham. They got the other tight end from the Colts. He's doing pretty good.
Tony Gonzalez, I think,
Tony
was pretty
Gonzalez
good.
Was a basketball player.
Do they make it through training camp if they're not playing tight end and they're playing
that's
like
what
running
we talked
back?
About.
No,
yeah.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only position is on the outside.
Yeah, it's tight end, really. Is they can't. They could not play in the trenches and whatnot. Nobody in the NBA could play in the trenches.
But I was like, think about, you know what I mean? Think about some of those big guys at left tackle, right? Think about the feet that you have to play in the post mm-hmm. or be a defensive guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Imagine those guys gaining an extra 30 pounds because they're not running all day and being a left tackle. Who's getting around that guy?
Well, that actually talked about the rookie that they just drafted. Have you seen his video, Broderick Jones?
Yeah,
I mean,
but that's pretty much.
He can dunk it. He can shoot it. He was a pretty good basketball player.
But he's not even 6'8". So imagine like one of those real true 6'8 guys.
Yeah.
Kendrick Perkins at left tackle.
Yeah.
Like, who's getting around that?
No. I'm getting around Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah.
Like, Okay. Last question, and I'll wrap up right here. We have the segment called Regret or Not. Do you regret making a tweet to Vontaze Burfict about if I see that boy on South Beach, I will paint him on sight?
Yeah, I regret that.
I do regret it.
Now that I'm older now and I'm looking back on it, that was the more emotional Vince. You know what I mean? I mean, I was mad. I really shouldn't have did it. I wouldn't send off a tweet like that now. If I could talk to my younger self, I would look back and say, Vince, it's better ways to go about it.
Did you hear the way they cheered, though, when we talked about it? They were all really excited.
That's still a nation's
right. I liked the picture of Vince Williams in a Bob Ross body talking about you're going to paint somebody.
By the way, I'm from Florida, guys. That is Florida jargon for fight.
Yeah.
I never meant to shoot, stab, or shank anyone.
Thank you for clearing that up.
It was fisticuffs.
Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, appreciate it.
All right, let's give a big round of applause for Vince Williams.
Thank you, guys.
Before you leave, we do have some footballs you can throw out and sign. How you feel about that?